Turn over to Psalm 36. We're going to study this psalm together, and I hope that after we have studied it and looked at it closely, that you'll have a better understanding of it. Not that it's a difficult one, but one that will mean a lot to you and one that you will appreciate. There are many things that we take for granted every day. How many of us thought this morning about the sun coming up? You thought, I wonder if the sun's going to come up, or you actually noticed the sun coming up, that it came up, as the scriptures say, to rule the day, or the fact that while you slept last night, the moon was doing its work and ruling the night, and that the stars were there. Well, God has set all of that in motion. God has done that, and He has done this to sustain our life, something that He put into motion. And it's very easy for us to take these things for granted, that God has done these things, and not really give a second thought about them throughout the day. So the Psalm 136 is a psalm that at the start brings our attention to God and to giving thanks to His creation. And it has some sections in it, but it's also a repeated psalm, a repetitious, for His mercy endures forever. That's repeated at the end of each verse. So it is, it's a, what I call and would say it's a responsive psalm. The American Standard, which read, I think, just like your New American did, for His loving kindness endures forever, or endureth forever. So instead of His mercy, it's translated His loving kindness. The ESV actually says, for His steadfast love endures forever. So to give you this idea of the psalm and how it is a responsive. There's great value in repetitiveness. Let me say that again. There's great value in repetitiveness. Let me say that again. There's great value in repeating something. We see that in scriptures. We understand that people sometimes will say something, let me say that, and we see that in Galatians chapter 1, which we're not going to go away from Psalm 136 much at all, but if you flip over to Galatians, hold your place. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, that's what Paul does. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you that than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So he really wanted to drive that home. Well, think about this repetitiveness of His mercy endures forever, or His steadfast love endures forever. Well, that's just saying that that's a great truth, a great importance. But when I say it's a responsive psalm, it's kind of like, and I've thought about doing this. I just never remember to do it, and I don't know if anybody would object. But think about the song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. So let's look at it as here's this side over here, left-hand side to the preacher. There's the world. Over here are the Christians. And it kind of works more over here, less over there. And the world says, what can wash away my sins? This side here, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see that? Well, look at this psalm and how that is written. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Now think about over here. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. And so you can just see over and over that repetitiveness and how important that would be, and just how much that would be driven, in a sense, into your mind that you would get this over and over. God is merciful. He's kind. He is His loving kindness. It never ends. It is forever. Well, then, it's also, this particular psalm is called the Great Hallel Psalm, which I wasn't familiar with, but basically what that means is Hallel means praise or thanksgiving. And so you can see in the psalm, and traditionally, I'm told, it was sung as at the end of the Passover. And I suspect that this is probably still done today by those that are practicing Judaism. But they sing it at the end of the Passover. It reminds the Jews of God's power in creation. And here's how this is broken up. His power in creation. And then it talks about His power in bringing the people out of Egypt and bringing them to the promised land. And then it concludes with praise and thanksgiving again as it started at the very beginning in verse 1. And then that God provides and sustains not only for His people, but for all. He is the God of all mankind. And so we don't keep the Jewish Passover, do we? No, we do not. But we can get great delight in knowing that God's care for Israel, this is our history, and how we understand that it's very important to know the biblical history, because it is a story that has a beginning and all the way up to our time, and we're told of how all this is going to end. That's what the Bible talks about. It is a book. Craig mentioned in his prayer how important it is, how wonderful it is to have the Word of God, that people died for us to be able to have the Word of God. But Paul actually does call Christ our Passover. Hold your place and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And this is, again, just to make a kind of a connection here with this idea of, you know, we don't sing this at the end of Passover, but do we have a lot to be thankful for? Absolutely. Can we be thankful for the blessings that God gave the Israelites? Because without the Israelites, we don't have Christ, because God chose Israel to bring us to Christ. And the law was a schoolmaster, a tutor, to bring us to Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, Paul wrote, "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." So He's called our Passover. The way that God, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Well, when God sees the blood's been applied to us through the blood of Jesus Christ and obeying the gospel, our sins are passed over, they are forgiven. And so there is a connection there. We rid our lives of wickedness and malice. We replace it with sincerity and truth. And that's such a beautiful thought that is found there in that passage. Let's go back to our psalm in Psalm 136, and let's kind of look at how this is kind of broke down. All right, so the first few verses, and we've read the first three verses together now. Notice how it is a call of giving thanks to God because He is good. And the Hebrew word here for the Lord, He is good, is actually Yahweh. It is Jehovah. And what I'm going to point out here is how we're going to have a changing of not just Yahweh or Jehovah here, but we're going to see it that different words are used. But Jehovah is good. And so God has always been good. That's a wonderful thing about Him. We have the little song, "God is so good," and how powerful that is for us as well. We cannot deny the goodness of God. And His goodness is evident in His actions, the actions that He has done, and the actions that we're going to see throughout this psalm. So as you read through, you'll see that this statement of give thanks to God for He is good is going to be validated all throughout the psalm and the things that He has done. and his goodness is evident if we'll pay attention. And so that fact that God is good is met with this refrain, for his mercy endures forever. So go back to, again, where it's like this side says this and the other responds with that particular truth at the end of everything that is said. God is so loving. God is so kind. God doesn't change. And so when we wake up tomorrow, Lord willing, God is still going to be good. It's not like, you know, we say, what kind of person is going to wake up today? You know, what kind of mood am I going to be in? What kind of mood are you going to be in? God is always, always good. Verse 2, he is the God of gods. The God of gods. Well, the Hebrew word here for God is Elohim. What do you know about Elohim? Well, it's in the beginning God, Elohim. And what point do we make there in Genesis 1:1? Plurality. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that word is used here. Give thanks to Elohim, God of gods. And so the psalmist has in mind the reality that God is Jehovah, the Word, the Holy Spirit. There's plurality. Hold your place. I said we wouldn't go away, but we'll go away a few times. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And in verse 17, Deuteronomy 10 and verse 17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't I say something about that this morning? Yeah, because that is our God. He is the God of gods, the true and living God, who is merciful, kind, loving, and so good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Verse 3. The Hebrew word here is not the same as Elohim or Yahweh. It is, in fact, our word that means master or sovereign, divine controller. It's how they address Jesus, Lord and Master. So that's, you know, very important to see that that word is used to speak of Jesus, because Jesus is God, but also to the Lord of lords, the master of all masters, the divine controller of all. So we have to understand that that is the nature and that is the power of God, and that is also attributed to Jesus. He is called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name has been exalted above all. And so the Lord's mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for Yahweh's mercy endures forever. You see how Yahweh was used? Now, verse 2, oh, give thanks to the God of gods, to Elohim, for Elohim's mercy endures forever. His. Verse 3, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his, the Lord's mercy endures forever. You see, when you go back and you put that word in, you can see that change in the thought as well, as we understand how important it is to understand just who God is in these three different words. Powerful words. And so the psalmist moves our thoughts to, well, why do you give thanks to God? You might say, I don't have a whole lot to be thankful for. But notice how the author is going to move from God as the creator to Israel's history. Notice in verse 4, to him alone who does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, speaking of creation, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 8, the sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. Moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. Can't you just hear that first part being said, and then everybody saying, for his mercy endures forever? But what are we talking about here? This is the Lord who does what? Does great wonders of creation, verses 4 through 9. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. So how did God make mercy? How did God make the heavens? With wisdom. You know, that's why when wisdom is personified, it's personified as something that's been since the beginning, because wisdom is of God. And by wisdom he made the heavens. He laid the earth above the waters. Well, when you go back to Genesis, it's very interesting to see how God separates the water and dry land appears, and then it's like the lower waters become our seas and our oceans, and then you think, well, what's this water above? I've always been fascinated. What's this water above? I don't know if that's the first start of the cycles. I've often thought, well, God just dumped all that on the flood as it came from everywhere. But it's just interesting how that is written. But here we have that saying, you know, he laid the earth above the waters, made the great lights in verse 7. And we understand, we go back to Genesis chapter 1. With power, God spoke into existence, let there be light. And there was light. And with that light, he says, okay, we got to have two great lights. One that's going to rule the day, our sun. One that's going to rule the night, and that is our moon. And so he made those in the stars, which we know are uncountable. And so God has done these great wonders. But then 10 through 24 takes Israel back to their history, which again is our history. Very important for us to understand that God brought the people out of bondage in Egypt because he had made promises to Abraham. And this will set the stage for us to have the law of Moses to bring us to Christ, to point to the Messiah. And so there's all these wonderful things. And so verse 10, to him who struck Egypt and their firstborn. So we just skip right over and go right to the last plague, because that's the one that Pharaoh finally said, leave, after changing his mind, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 11, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. So think of all the history that takes place there with Moses, who's raised up in Pharaoh's household. He has to leave when he flees the kills the Egyptian, and the Israelites know it, who made you a ruler and a judge over us. And he flees, and then God calls him and he comes back. And then God, with his mighty hand, brings them out from among the Egyptians. Why? Because they cried out to him. And you understand that Pharaoh was mistreating them. This wasn't the Pharaoh that knew Joseph. He died, and Joseph died. And so we have a new Pharaoh, and he treated them poorly. In verse 12, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. So picture God reaching down with his strength and his might and stretching and grabbing them and pulling them out of Egypt. Why? Because he's loving and he's kind. He's merciful. Give thanks to God, the Lord who has done this. And then what did he do? Well, you remember the Egyptians then ended up pursuing them, and they were pressed in. They were trapped. Here's the Red Sea. And now the Egyptian army is coming upon them. And isn't it interesting that what did God do? You remember what God did? He made it where they could see and the Egyptians couldn't. He had like two different things going on. Egyptians are over here, and that's in the plague, but he does the same thing down by the water. And he divides the Red Sea, and that's what's mentioned. And you know how that made an impression on the known world. We learned that from Rahab the harlot. We've heard about this. Everybody heard about the God of Israel that had divided the Red Sea. Divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever. He made Israel pass through the midst of it. You remember, how did they pass through it? On dry ground. That's very important, isn't it? Dry ground. Now, what happens? Well, it says that his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. So they start out across the sea, and God closed it up on them, and they died and drowned. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. You see how powerful that is? So who are we talking about? We're talking about a God to give thanks for who he is. and a God to know what he has done. The Lord who has done great wonders, the Lord who has delivered his people out of the Egyptian bondage. But then what happens? Well, he leads them through the wilderness, verse 16, for his mercy endures forever. So these are wonderful things that he's doing. You think about all the wilderness wanderings. You think about the Red Sea and that miracle, and then you think about bringing water from a rock or raining manna, bread out of heaven. And you remember we've talked about how much that would have been to feed that many people from the time they left to the time they stepped foot into the Promised Land finally, and then the manna stops. That's not mentioned here, but it just, again, it's this swoop of, you can just think about, he led his people through the wilderness. Why? For his mercy endures forever. Where is all of this heading? To Jesus Christ, the most wonderful thing with regards to how merciful God is. When none of us deserved it, God commends his love towards us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Nothing we did, God acted. Go back to the lesson on propitiation. God acted. That is his love. And we love him because he first loved us. So we see him bringing the people through the wilderness. But then it says, verse 17, to him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever. And he follows that up with specifics. This was very important to the Israelites. Shihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. We can go back and read these accounts. We can go back and read how God delivered them. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. These famous kings, the Amorite king, the king of Bashan, and God delivering his people, letting them move through the wilderness, come into the promised land. Verse 21, gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. Delivering them into the promised land. That wasn't without the rebellion first. That wasn't without the punishment. But nonetheless, did God keep his promise to Abraham? He did. He did. So Joshua would lead the people into the land, and they would conquer the land. They would go in and they would begin to live in the houses they had not built and to eat from the fruit of the land and vineyards and gardens and things they had not planted. God was good. God was kind. Verse 22 says, a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Why Israel? Do you remember the history there? Where does the word Israel come from? Do you remember? God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Jacob, the father of the 12, he changed his name to Israel. Became known as the Israelites. A heritage to Israel, his servant. His servant. Israel was to be God's servant. God was using them. Israel was God's servant to show the world the true and living God. How did they do? Failed pretty miserably, didn't they, at times? Many times. Hope you see some parallels. Who are we supposed to be? Servants of God. Servants of Christ. We sing the song, Make Me a Servant, just like his son. Jesus was a servant. He came and he took on the form of a bond servant, and so we are to be in likeness. So Israel, God's servant, he gave this heritage, gave the promise, the inheritance. And so that is a wonderful thing. God had promised a land. God had promised a nation. God had promised seed. and that seed would be Christ. Verse 23 says, "Who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever." There's many times that Israel, think about, they come into the promised land, and Joshua dies, and then who takes over? You have the kings, up and down like a yo-yo. We got a cycle we can plot and show how they just, again, in their lowly states, what would they do? Cry out. And what would God do? Send a deliverer. Send a deliverer. And so his mercy endures forever, no matter the lowly state. Even when they're in captivity and they would cry out, God promised to bring back a remnant. And they came back. His mercy endures forever. Rescued us from our enemies. Wow, what kind of stories all entailed in that? Think about all that study we just did, and even David having to run from Saul and his own family and being delivered. But more than that, all of the stories of the Philistines and all the battles and all the challenges and all the things that confronted them. Who was the one that was rescuing them? God. And when they tried to go it alone, how did that go? Not well at all. But why did God keep delivering? For his mercy endures forever. And then we have in verse 25, we kind of come back to where in verse 25 he says, to give thanks again. Why? Who gives food to all flesh. Is he the God of Israel only? No. So the New Testament makes it very clear that whether somebody knows it or not, every day the Lord is blessing them. And I know he is because the sun comes up and the sun goes down, just like it does for me. And what about the rain and the changing of the seasons? That's God. That's God sustaining his creation. And God providing. God providing. He gives food to all flesh, not just man. Can you think of passages where, I can think of Matthew chapter 6, can't you? Where he says, what about the birds? Look at the birds. And they're all out there. And with the sun coming up the next couple of days, you're going to see them a lot. They're going to start showing themselves until it gets cold, I suspect. But who's feeding them? Your bird feeder doesn't count because that's only going to feed a handful. God is, right? God is. God puts these things. He doesn't just feed the birds. He feeds all flesh. All flesh. For his mercy endures forever. And the last verse there in verse 26. Go give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Well, where does God dwell? He dwells in the heavens, doesn't he? And we are called to give thanks to the God of heaven. To give thanks to the God of heaven. Grab your songbook. Well, let's sing one of the psalms. Psalm 136 is found in here, look at the song, 574. No, that's not right. 47, 547. Give to our God immortal praise. You'll see that it is to the tune of Son of My Soul. Son of my soul, thou say. You don't know Son of My Soul? Uh-oh. Okay, never mind. Read the verses with me then. Give to our God immortal praise. Mercy and truth are all his ways. Wonders of grace to God belong. Repeat his mercies in your song. He built the earth, he spread the sky, he fixed the starry nights on high. Wonders of grace to God belong, repeat his mercies in your song. He sent his son with power to save from guilt and darkness and the grave. Wonders of grace to God belong, repeat his mercies in your song. Through the vast world he guides our feet and leads us to his heavenly seat. His mercy for his mercies ever shall endure when this our world shall be no more. And again, it's set kind of with the sentiment and thoughts of Psalm 136. Well, when everybody tries to remember, what was that song? Somebody needs to write down besides me, Son of My Soul. And once we learn that one, we can sing 547. But again, there is there's another one if you go to the back that has that as the reference as well. But let me come back as we close. What I really like about this psalm is that repetitiveness. And we don't like me repeating over and over, but there's benefit to that. So as you think about and you read through that psalm, it helps me to picture one side saying this and the other in response, for his mercy endures forever. And if you think about that being sung as Israel remembers their history coming out of Egypt, you can see why they might sing that, or if they did sing that for sure at the end of the Passover. I think that's what's taught traditionally as to when that was sung. Well, I hope that that's been a benefit to you. I certainly have enjoyed looking more closely at that psalm. If you're here tonight and you are not a Christian, we have a song that has been selected that will be our invitation song, that if you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have that opportunity to do so. While we sing this song, come forward, make your confession and your belief in Christ, and we will baptize you into Christ. You can put him on today and go on your way rejoicing, knowing that your sins have been forgiven. Perhaps there is something amiss in your life or you need prayer of encouragement. If we can help anyone in any way, we invite you to come as we stand in.